Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Every day, government pressure mounts on the Christian faith. How should believers react? For guidance, we can look to a similar time of persecution long ago. The place was Babylon, and the minority Jews were in the hot seat. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on The Church in Babylon, Unleashing the Power of a Spirit-Filled Witness. Erwin Lutzer takes us to Daniel chapter 3 to see what happens when the state becomes God.
The topic of my message today is when the state becomes God. Under ideal conditions, the responsibility of the state is to protect its citizens, to have laws that will enable a state to be able to flourish, and have what is sometimes referred to as limited government. The relationship between church and state, or religion and state, has had a long and checkered history. Sometimes that has happened where there has been freedom. Sometimes, most often, there is not freedom of conscience and freedom of religion. In the Old Testament, there was no freedom of religion. You didn't follow the prescribed teaching of Judaism. You were a heretic and you were to be put to death. That was true not only in Israel, but also the surrounding nations that surrounded Israel. Same kind of statism. When Jesus came, he really did change all that. When Jesus held that coin and says, "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God that which is God's," what he was saying is that there is a responsibility that you have to the state, but there's also a responsibility to God. And the conflict between the two has dogged the pages of church history. Now, oftentimes what happens in a state is the state's default position is to take more authority and to diminish human freedom. I think, for example, a great example of that would be during Hitler's Nazism. You know, what happens is when a state or a country is in chaos, that's a great opportunity for a dictator. Because there was chaos in Germany, high inflation, high unemployment. People wanted a strong leader to end the madness. And so you have chaos and then you have a crisis. Hitler precipitated a crisis. I know that this is debated, but I personally believe that it was he who instigated Martin van der Lubbe to enter into the heating system of the Reichstag and light it on fire. Hitler blamed it on the communists, and as a result, he ended all civil liberties, freedom of expression, freedom of assembly, and in effect also freedom of religion. First of all, you have chaos, then you have a crisis, and then you have control. If you're here today and you're a Muslim, I want to assure you that we welcome you and we want to be your friends. But I do need to say that among the countries of the world where there is the least freedom of religion today, it is in Islamic countries. For example, the laws of Saudi Arabia explicitly state that someone who converts from Islam to another religion, the penalty should be death. We think today of a mother who converted from Islam to Christianity who is sitting in prison, nursing a child until, we are told, the child will be 2 years old and then she will be whipped and she will be put to death. Now, even if that is overturned because of international pressure, the simple fact is that throughout all those Middle Eastern countries, there are people today who are being persecuted simply because they are Christians. It's a long story. But all of this leads me to the message that I'm going to give today, a very important message. And I know that you will listen carefully as you hear not only my words, but my heart, as I talk about a story, a true story in the Old Testament, found in the book of Daniel, chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, and I need to give you the context. I hope that you have been here as I preach the last messages, because the title of this series is The Church in Babylon, because the best example of what we today have to live among and with in America is to be found at those Jews who entered Babylon, a very pagan country, as a minority. And they had to get used to living as a minority in a majority pagan culture. And I talked about what God said. God says, go to the city of Babylon, build houses. You can plant vineyards, plan to stay there, seek the welfare of the city. Witness to your neighbors and to your friends. Pay your taxes. If we relate it to today, we'd say, be sure to run for city government. Become involved in your school system. Witness to the community. Have a vacation Bible school for the children of the area. Bring them in and let us together witness to our faith in the midst of this culture. Now, if you were with us last time, a very critical message about conflicts of conscience. And we were surprised at how far Daniel was willing to go, Daniel and his three friends, in the culture. I mean, they were renamed by pagan names. They had positions in the government because Nebuchadnezzar saw their brilliance and their wisdom, and on it goes. But he did draw a line. And today we have another line, a very important line, found in the third chapter of the book of Daniel. I hope that you have your Bible and that you can turn with us to it. I think it might be page 740, 740 in the Bible that is there in the seat in front of you. Context. Chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream that Daniel interprets. And the dream is the dream of a man, and the head is gold. And Daniel said, you, O king, are the head of gold. And the rest of the dream predicts the nations that are going to come. It's one of the great predictive dreams of history, and very accurate. But Nebuchadnezzar promotes Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to high positions in his land. But then he has an ego problem, and he sets up an image. And this image is 90 feet high, sitting on a base that is 9 feet long. Now, this happens to be in a plain that is close to Babylon, the plain of Dura, which has been found. And archaeologists actually believe that they have found the base, the pedestal, upon which this great, massive, tall image rests. We're not sure exactly, but I think it was the image of a man. And so Nebuchadnezzar builds this, and then he brings all of the people of Babylon to the plain. We can visualize there hundreds of thousands over a period of time. And he says, as soon as the music begins, and he lists six different instruments that are to be used, and the people are to be enchanted by the music, and then he says, when that happens, I want everybody to bow down, and I want them to worship the image. Do you notice how Nebuchadnezzar uses the law specifically? He becomes the lawgiver. And the law of Babylon is now everybody worships the same God and bows before the same image. Well, that gives context to where I'm going to pick it up there in chapter 3 in verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. In context, what happened is they were written up as not bowing. And this information was given to Nebuchadnezzar. The man who wrote them up said, you know, these Jews that you have, they're not bowing. And so Nebuchadnezzar says, well, maybe you got it wrong. We're going to do this again, and I'll give you another chance to bow before the image. So they are responding. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. I don't know, do you underline your Bibles? You can if you do it nicely with a red pencil like I do it so that it doesn't bleed through to the other side. I like to always read my Bible with a red pencil. This one should be underlined twice. This is one of the greatest expressions of faith that is found in the scriptures. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, God is able to deliver us out of the fiery furnace. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression of his face was changed against these three men. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter. That's an expression for saying as hot as you can possibly make it. And he ordered some of the mighty men to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their cloaks and their tunics, their hats, and other garments. And they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. But because the king's order was urgent and the fire overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, they fell bound into the burning furnace, that is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste, and he declared to his counselors, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the fire?" They said, "True, O king." He answered and said, "But I see 4 men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the 4th is like a son of the gods." What I want us to do today is to ask ourselves the question and answer it. How did these men have the courage to stand there and be willing to say, "Throw us into the fire, but we will not deny God whether we're delivered or not"? Well, my friend, you certainly are going to have to listen to the next broadcast of Running to Win as we continue this message about when the state becomes God. Are you concerned? I'm sure you are as concerned as I am about the fact that even in America today, the state is acting as if it's God. As our freedoms, which we have always taken for granted, are being marginalized, as the church no longer has a position of authority within the wider culture, we find that even the laws of the land are beginning to impact our freedoms. Can I encourage you today by reminding you that this is not a new problem? That these 3 men, God bless them, they went through that in ancient Babylon. But the Lord Jesus Christ walked with them through the fiery furnace, and they were not burned. And today Jesus comes to us and says, "In the midst of your situation, in the midst of your need, I will walk with you, no matter what you encounter. And no matter what your fiery furnace is today, Jesus is there."
Erwin Lutzer, introducing When the State Becomes God, the 9th message in a series on the Church in Babylon, unleashing the power of a Spirit-filled witness. Next time, a king finds out who's really in charge. The Church in Babylon is a 10-part series on CD. We'd like to send you that series as our thank you for a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.